Loving and life-giving God, may our thirst compel us beyond complaint to conversation, beyond rejection to relationship. Pour your love into our hearts, that refreshed and renewed, we may invite others to the living water given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Gospel of John continues to challenge us in this week's reading. Last week, we listened and watched as Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. A Pharisee and a leader among his people, Nicodemus wanted to talk with this young rabbi, but only under the cover of night. Nicodemus chose the time when no one would see him. This week, we watch and listen as a Samaritan woman also encounters Jesus. Unlike Nicodemus, she is not seeking Jesus. It appears more likely that Jesus is seeking her. Unlike Nicodemus, this encounter does not take place under the cover of darkness. This conversation takes place at noon, in the bright light of midday for anyone to see. However, the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus do have one thing in common. She too has chosen the time to visit Jacob's well, a time when, like Nicodemus, she hopes no one will see her. She isn't worried about people seeing her talk with Jesus. She doesn't even know who Jesus is, much less that he will be at Jacob's well. She's perhaps simply trying to avoid seeing anyone at all. Women made their trips to the well in the coolness of the early morning. Every woman in town would have made that trip every day. As soon as young girls were old enough to walk, they would make the trip too. It was something like going to the Walmart in my hometown in Nowata, Oklahoma. Every time you went to the store, you saw someone caught up on the news who was sick, who had company in from out of town, who'd bought a new car. Making the daily trip to the water well would likely have been very much like that. But the woman who we meet in today's gospel is not going to the well in the cool of the morning. She's not going when every other woman in town is going to get their daily water. She's going when she can be alone. There's an early clue that the narrative tosses our way about how extraordinary this encounter is going to be. She was planning to go quietly and get her water alone. You can imagine how she must have felt as she got close enough to see the well and see that today there is someone sitting there. It's a man, and soon enough, as she draws closer, she can tell that he's a stranger. Not only a stranger, but also a Jew. Not exactly who anyone would expect to see at Jacob's well, right in the middle of Samaria at the heat of the day. But never mind, she probably thought to herself, here I am with my bucket. I've come all this way. I've got to get water for the house. He'll leave me alone. He's a man. I'm a woman. He's a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. She knows that this Jewish man at the well will leave her alone. With today's gospel lesson, we have an opportunity to be reminded again of my favorite Latin theological phrase, odium theologicum. Odium theologicum, the hatred of one person for another based on theology. Odium theologicum is especially acute between the Samaritans and the Jews because they share so much in common. They both acknowledge the Torah, the first five books of what we know today as the Hebrew Scriptures. So they share the heritage of Abraham and Moses. That's why a Samaritan woman can say to a Jewish man in this story, our ancestor Jacob. Samaritans claim Jacob as one of their own. But the Samaritans do not share in the history of David and Solomon. They do not acknowledge Jerusalem or the temple, especially not the temple and its priesthood, as being central to their spiritual or religious life, of having anything at all to do with their spiritual or religious life. The odium theologicum between Jew and Samaritan is not simply a difference in denominations. It's not like a Missouri Synod versus an ELCA Lutheran. More like what we see today in the Sunnis and the Shiites in the Islam faith. It's not a pretty thing. So assuming that she will be completely ignored, the Samaritan woman walks up to get her daily water and hears four words that will change her life forever. Give me a drink. A Jewish man speaks to a Samaritan woman. That's the second clue from the narrative that something extraordinary is happening. This conversation with the Samaritan woman is the longest of any that Jesus has with anyone in any of the Gospels. Taking the Gospels on face value, as they have been preserved for us, Jesus speaks with this ultimate outsider longer than any recorded conversation with any of the disciples. This conversation is longer and more involved than any conversation with the Pharisees. It's longer than the conversation between Jesus and Pilate. It's an amazing narrative and a rhetorical spin by the author of John's Gospel. Last week, it seemed like Nicodemus answered every statement by Jesus with another unbelieving question. How can this be? Nicodemus kept saying. Even if it's not clear that the Samaritan woman and Jesus were ever exactly on the same wavelength, soon enough, she responds with acceptance. Give me that water you're talking about. Jesus began the conversation with a request for water from the woman. And now the Samaritan woman makes the same request of Jesus. Jesus responds with his great teaching that true worship of God is not limited to either Jerusalem or the Samaritan's favorite mountain. Today, we would say the true worship of God is not limited to either a PowerPoint presentation or the hardback Book of Common Prayer. True worship of God is made in spirit and in truth. Samaritan woman has come to the well hoping to be utterly alone. First, she finds someone there, and it's a man, and it's a Jew. Soon, she finds herself in truly deep waters. She, a Samaritan woman, is discussing theology with the Jew. Finally, when this lonely, outcast Samaritan woman lays claim to the great hope for the long-sought-for Messiah, the gospel opens up and reveals the extraordinary thing to which we've been carefully led. The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah, who is called Christ, is coming. When the Messiah comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he. I am he, the one who is speaking to you." With these two words, "I am," Jesus revealed his divine nature to the Samaritan woman. There are a series of these great "I am" statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. To a child of Abraham and Moses, either Jew or Samaritan, the words "I am" would bring to mind the revelation of God to Moses at the burning bush. As Moses was in the presence of the divine in the burning bush and asked for a name, the reply he received was, "I am." The exact translation of the response is unclear, perhaps even deliberately blurred, so this became known as the great unpronounceable name of God. As the Gospel of John unfolds its story of Jesus, these "I am" statements take on greater and greater significance. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine." And here today, for the first time in the gospel, Jesus discloses his divine nature. Not to one of the disciples, not even last week to Nicodemus, but to a woman, a Samaritan, one who is apparently an outcast even among her own people. Her response to all that Jesus has said to her is that of a true disciple. Just as James and John left their fishing nets, she leaves her water bucket and runs back to town, back to the place that has ostracized her, back to a place where just this morning she was too embarrassed to walk with the other woman to get their daily water, back home to tell everyone about Jesus. Because on this journey to the well, she received so much more than her daily water. She received assurance. She received acceptance. She received living water. Last week, the message of Jesus to the great Pharisee and teacher Nicodemus was met with doubt and questions. This week, the outcast, the outsider, encounters the same Jesus and responds with faith and proclamation. The story of the Samaritan woman is the same story of which the prophet Isaiah sang when he told his people about the dream of God. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, God implores, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, God pleads, that your soul may live. The Samaritan woman offers a lesson to each of us. She has encountered the great I Am of her faith, and her soul became alive. As we approach the table this morning to receive the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, may we also encounter the great I Am. May our souls, like that of the outcast, the outsider, the Samaritan woman, also come alive. Let us pray. Loving and life-giving God, may our thirst compel us beyond complaint to conversation, beyond rejection to relationship. Pour your love into our hearts that, refreshed and renewed, we may invite others to the living water given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.